The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
Yeah! From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Brought to you by the National Cannabis Coalition.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
All right, good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Wednesday, August 15th, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. It's also got to be our last day here in the studio before we head out to Seattle Hemp Fest, the 21st annual, out there on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Myrtle Edwards Park in Seattle, Washington. We'll be bringing you live coverage all 3 days, starting at noon, running till 8 p.m., ish. We'll see how it goes. We've got our own booth out there at the Stoned Garden, so if you're going to be at HempFest, make sure you visit us. We'll be there near the main stage in that center set of vendors that are there. Also, Herb Age will be there at booth 422. Handmadeapparel.biz will be out at booth 504, I think. So plenty of people to visit. We've also got friends coming from Georgia, from Florida, from all across the country visiting us for Seattle Hemp Fest. It's going to be a really good time. If you can't be there with us, just log on right here to ncr420.com and we'll bring you all the coverage we can. Now, I'm kind of running a skeleton crew today, technically just myself here in the studio, but joining us from our virtual studio in Grass Story, Oregon, we've got Cannabis Carrie. Hi, Carrie. Oh, my goodness. Do we have Carrie on the line? I don't have Carrie on the line. Interesting. All right. Well, we will fix that right after the break. After the break, we're going to bring you the Cannabis Chronicles. And in today's headlines, we are going to be bringing you the Michigan Grand Rapids, Michigan, the city, will be voting on marijuana decriminalization this November. Also, the advertising ban for medical marijuana outdoors passed in Denver. We'll talk about that. A spokesman who is against I-502 with a new campaign against 502 was fired at his first press conference. We'll bring you some video from that. And if we got some time, we'll talk about some cannabis news out of Africa, where an African grandmother is growing weed in Swaziland. So we'll talk all about that in our Daily Cannabis Chronicles right after the first break. Then we've got our Daily Toker Tunes. Today is Irie Wednesday. And for today, we're going to go a little country with an album called Reggae Goes Country. And today's song is that very famous song, King of the Road, done reggae style. We'll bring that to you right after our 20 after break. Then at half past, as we always do every Wednesday, we're going to visit with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, who will be with us answering your live cannabis questions on history, culture, science, and health right here. So you can dial in at 971-533-7111 or join us here on the chat at ncr420.com. And then at the end of the show, we're going to be visiting with director Dan Katzier. He is the director of the new movie Legalize It, which takes a look at the Prop 19 campaign and other efforts to legalize marijuana in America. We'll talk to him about this new movie at the end of the show. And then hour two, we'll be back for more of your calls and more talk right here at Toker Talk Radio and the Russ Belville Show. Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back after this break. Stick around. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
Business. It's simply business. It's simply business, you know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, brought to you by the National Cannabis Coalition.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word Russ to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send 10 bucks to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's Russ to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show. Wiz Khalifa's wallet and cell phone are missing. Again. And Taco Bell's already been searched. We got to look somewhere. Help us legalize it. Text NCC to 420-420 and send 10 bucks to the National Cannabis Coalition. Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, ganja sacrament, consumer cannabis. The topic of marijuana is heating up the news, and the Russ Belville Show catches you up with today's latest headlines. Now, here's our senior news editor, Cannabis Carey, with the Daily Cannabis Chronicle.
Yes, indeed. The City Commission in Grand Rapids, Michigan yesterday approved ballot language for a decriminalization proposal for voters to consider in November. A city charter amendment is the action that they are using to try and decriminalize marijuana in the city of Grand Rapids. The group, Decriminalize Grand Rapids, submitted more than 10,000 signatures to get the minimum number of 6,565 signatures, which is 5% of the registered voters of Grand Rapids. The City Commission had no legal authority to keep the proposal off of November's ballot, and they were just being asked to approve the language of that ballot measure. Now, Grand Rapids voters will consider the city charter amendment that would call on police to make marijuana possession or use a civil infraction punishable by a ticket with a fine of up to $100. It would also prohibit Grand Rapids authorities from referring violations for prosecution under state law, stating that the proposal would, quote, decriminalize possession, control, use, or gift of marijuana through a charter amendment prohibiting police from reporting same to law enforcement authorities other than the city attorney, prohibiting the city attorney from referring same to other law enforcement authorities for prosecution. Now, Decriminalize Grand Rapids says that the charter amendment would save the city and Kent County an estimated $2.5 million a year in enforcement and prosecution of marijuana crimes, according to their spokesman, Tyler Nickerson, and will refocus shrinking police resources to other pressing needs. It passed, instead of enforcing marijuana offenses as misdemeanor crimes, police would issue tickets with fines of $25 for the first offense, $50 for the second, and $100 for any subsequent offenses. City Attorney Catherine Mish said that in practice, the passage of the proposal may lead to little or no enforcement for marijuana crimes at all. She said that it is unclear what the impact would be and that her department, along with the city police department, would have long discussions about how to enforce it if it passes in the polls come November.
Well, I don't know. Gosh, decriminalizes, you get a ticket for possession of marijuana. Sounds to me, though, like you'd still get arrested and thrown in jail if you were growing plants at home. This isn't true legalization. This doesn't go far enough. This doesn't allow me to grow all the weed I want, anytime I want, anywhere I want, for any reason I want, with no regulations and no taxes and no other changes to any other existing laws. Gosh, we can't support this. It just doesn't go far enough. Oh, jeez. I'm sorry. I've been reading so much no on I-502 stuff, my mind is all messed up. Of course you should support this decriminalization. Grand Rapids, Michigan decriminalization, great news. We hope everyone gets behind this and we can get some more positive momentum in ending prohibition nationwide.
And we have a follow-up on that Denver City advertising ban that we can tell you now that the city officials thought it was a good idea to the tune of a 13-0 vote. The proponents of the marijuana advertising ban that includes some in the industry as well say that marijuana advertising in Denver can be shockingly aggressive. Sign waivers with pictures of marijuana and promises of free joints. City council members who have been discussing a marijuana advertising ban for 2 years now say that the unscrupulous advertisers are giving the industry a bad name. The ban will apply to billboards, buses, and bench ads, and sidewalk sign twirler advertising. The ordinance in Denver will not affect print advertising or radio and television ads, as long as every ad has a disclaimer that marijuana is only for registered Colorado and medical marijuana patients only. The medical marijuana industry has been deeply divided over this issue. The medical marijuana industry group, a trade group based in Denver, has been actively pushing for the advertising ban, asking for higher standards for the industry. But another large trade group for the medical marijuana industry, the Cannabis Business Alliance, has argued that the ban goes too far. Now, other medical marijuana states have instituted bans on medical marijuana advertising. It's illegal in Delaware and Vermont. And Montana state legislature that passed sweeping restrictive rules to their medical marijuana program last year included an advertising ban, but that part of the regulations was blocked by a district judge who ruled that an advertising ban was a violation of First Amendment and that any violation of the right to free speech is irreparable injury. Washington state has an advertising ban for doctors who are barred from recommending marijuana and cannot be used in advertisements for medical marijuana in their businesses or practice. Now, this ban is only in Denver. Colorado lawmakers have considered advertising regulations, but they've been rejected every time they've come up for a vote. Both tobacco and alcohol vendors also face advertising limits, but you will still see signs for cigarettes and billboards for beer in Denver.
Wow. You know, God, there's so many different angles I could start responding to this. Of course, there's the First Amendment angle of, you know, why are we banning, you know, free speech for a product that's legal for these people to use? We could go with the angle of, gosh, you know, alcohol and tobacco and prescription drugs, they all get to advertise on buses and such. And, you know, I could go with another angle, which is I don't like advertising for any sort of medicines. I figure that when the ad says, ask your doctor for Fucatol or whatever the drug is, when you ask your doctor for something, you are treating him like the pusher, right? He's the pusher. You're just the guy you get the drugs from. Doctors should be the one who recommend medicines to patients, not advertisements. But I don't want to go with that angle. Let me go with this angle. And that is for the medical marijuana industry, some of the people that are in medical marijuana to understand how it looks to the outside world, how things appear, because appearances and conceptions and perceptions are very important in this, right? So here's how it went down. For years and years and years and years and years, marijuana was illegal for everyone, for any purpose, even medical. It was an evil, dangerous demon drug that's gonna lead you straight to heroin, lead to mayhem on the freeways, and ruin society as we know it. After a lot of careful work and framing and messaging, we convinced enough voters that, God, you know, maybe you shouldn't lock up the real sick and injured people using marijuana. It is medical for them. Could we get a little exception here for the medical users? Just, you know, it's still illegal and all, and we understand that, but just a little exception. I mean, you got to be compassionate. And the people said, yeah, you're right. We got to be compassionate. Let's help these poor, sick cancer patients and AIDS patients. And when that passed, we all went, woohoo, marijuana's legal. All right, let's open up stores. Let's have a bunch of festivals. Let's have a bunch of girls in bikinis up on the sidewalks, twirling signs with free pot leaves and free joints. Woohoo, it's legal. Are we surprised at the reaction and the backlash that this has gotten? People would have the same kind of backlash if there was dentist offices that had scantily clad girls spinning signs and say, woohoo, get your laughing gas here. Lots of fun for laughing gas. Right? So it's kind of to be expected, this backlash that we got. And unfortunately, like most backlashes, they tend to go way overboard in what they're doing. So I don't want to say that I'm in support of this ban or that it's a good idea or that it's even the right thing to do, but I can certainly understand how it came about.
Now, we have a story that got a bunch of media attention today from Swaziland on the African continent. A grandmother taking care of her 11 orphaned grandchildren has been growing high-grade marijuana that she sells into South Africa's black market. The strain that she raises is called Swazi Gold, and it's one that is sought after in the Regency for its high potency. The strain can fetch top dollar in next-door neighboring South Africa. Now, the original story came from the New York Times, where a reporter interviewed the woman who only used her middle name and told her story that without growing marijuana, she and her grandchildren would starve. Now, she's just one of thousands of peasants who try to eke out a living in the rural areas of African southern tip. She's considered part of the vast global chain of drug cultivation that includes poppy farmers in Afghanistan and coca leaf farmers in South America. She uses the money she makes farming to send all 11 of her grandchildren to school and to buy them food, books, and clothing. She said she tried to make money growing produce, but she says that local baboons steal any corn or cabbages that you can grow. And because of the devastating rate of HIV infection in her country, thousands of children have been left homeless, orphaned, and often with their grandparents. She has had all three of her adult daughters die of the disease, leaving the children with her. Now, this niche market for alternative income is becoming more common in the rural areas in Africa. The United Nations is reporting rising marijuana use in South Africa, and that Swaziland in the north seems to be the most eager supplier. Swaziland is reportedly has acreage more acreage under marijuana cultivation in 2010 than India, a cannabis-consuming nation more than 180 times its geographical size. Now, the woman featured in the New York Times piece is 70 years old, and she said she started growing marijuana when she heard other women in her village were doing it for extra money. Now, a season's crop will get the woman about $400 from the men who come up from the south to buy it. She says the price is too little, but with no other way to earn money, she says whatever little money she has makes her content.
Well, here we go. Once again, we have people all over the world that are willing to farm this crop, that are turning to it for a way to support their families. And we do everything in our power to try to stop them from doing that. There are so many farming jobs and so much economic opportunity that is lost because of global marijuana prohibition. It's just very, very frustrating.
And we had an interesting press conference yesterday for a new medical marijuana trade group. A spokesman for the new group called Safe Access Alliance, Philip Dowdy, a longtime cannabis activist, invited reporters to the office of Seattle lawyer Kurt Bohl for the kickoff of a new trade group and to discuss opposition to the current legalization effort in Washington State, I-502. Now, a group of No on I-502 campaign showed up to protest that the new group was co-opting their message and stealing their donations. The whole mess ended with that Seattle lawyer ending up firing Dowdy in front of reporters, saying, "You're fired. You embarrassed us." Now, I think you might have some video of this whole mess, Russ.
Yeah, we're going to turn to the local Seattle News reporting on this.
We reached the decision that we were going to have to launch a formal campaign in opposition to I-502.
We were invited to the small North Seattle law office to meet.
Is a huge attack on medical cannabis patients in this state.
Philip Dowdy.
I am the media director of the Safe Access Alliance.
A large figure in the marijuana reform community who introduced Rick Smith to speak.
It's provided me with a longer life and a better quality of life.
A longtime medicinal cannabis user spoke out against Initiative 502, saying it will tax out needy patients and set others up for unfair prosecution.
502 will wrongfully convict unimpaired drivers of DUI.
But before he could finish,
guys, you're not crashing our show. Get out of here.
Two members of No on 502 crashed the press conference.
Registered please, and using the I-502.
Yes, two people who share the same beliefs on the marijuana legalization issue.
You're pushing me? You're pushing me.
Yes, this is my law.
You're pushing me.
But felt Dowdy and Smith were hogging the spotlight and turned the press conference into a theater of the absurd. The strange thing about this is everyone arguing on this particular political issue wants the legalization of marijuana in some form or another, including the people for Initiative 502.
It may be that there are some medical marijuana industry interests that are at play in these opposition arguments.
Yes, on 502 campaign chair Allison Holcomb discounted the dust-up, arguing her initiative legalizing pot possession up to 1 ounce for those over 21 strengthens DUI laws.
Is it sets a standard for how much active THC you have in your system.
The opposition, named Safe Access Alliance, clearly red-faced over the fracas, fired Dowdy on the spot, and now must wonder if their argument was just lost in smoke. In Seattle, Chris Daniels, King 5 News.
Even if I-502 passes, there is still a question.
It's 420 back in Idaho, where Russ and Carrie were born. So we have to go connect with our roots, you know what I mean? Please support these sponsors who support the Russ Belville Show.
You know, The Onion couldn't have written a better news piece than what actually happened at that press conference. We'll talk about more of that in hour two, but right now, stick around. You got your Daily Toker Tunes coming up. Trailers for Sale or Rent. We're going reggae goss country right after this break.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215. Or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
Cause the day was hard and your work was long, and you need a break from all that's wrong. You better look at the clock cause it's 4:19. Time to reach in that pocket for your bag of green and smoke that.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show. Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Irie Wednesday, featuring reggae, ska, and other world music genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 23 after the hour. And, you know, my background, if you don't know, I am the son of a traveling, touring, professional musician. My father played drums and later bass in various country and country rock bands throughout the 1970s, toured with all sorts of kind of B-level country stars that, you know, country fans from the 70s would know. You probably wouldn't. Farron Young, Orville Couch, Shelley West, David Frizzell, those kind of guys. Anyway, so I kind of grew up on the road, and country has always been in my background. Not the crap they're playing on country radio these days. I mean real blues roots country type music, right? You know, Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson, that kind of stuff. Johnny Cash, that's my kind of country. And I've been introduced, since doing the show, I've been introduced to a lot of stuff in reggae as well, from, you know, Coleco and Brian and other fans of reggae music. And I always thought it was kind of interesting that, you know, from a bass player's point of view, from a rhythm section point of view, country and reggae are kind of opposites. Yeah, country is all about the upbeats. Mm, eh, 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 and country is all about boom, 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 the downbeats, right? Reggae is about the upbeats. Country is about the downbeats. You might not think these two things could ever go together, but you'd be wrong. We got this next album coming up for you. It's called Reggae's Gone Country, and it features various artists taking classic country songs and doing them reggae style. And a lot of them sound really good as reggae songs. Some of them even sound better as reggae songs. Now, this next one, of course, is a very famous Roger Miller tune. Even people that aren't country fans know it. It's called King of the Road. It's a great song as a country song. It's a great song as a reggae song. This is Freddie McGregor with his version of King of the Road from Reggae's Gone Country.
I'm the king of the road. Don't know what I'm saying. La, da, 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 yeah. Yeah, man. Trailers for sale or rent. Rooms to let 50 cents. No phone, no pool, no pets. I ain't got no cigarettes. like 12 four-bit rumors. Man of means by no means king of the road. Third boxcar midnight train, destination Bangor, Maine. Old worn out suits and shoes, I don't pay no union dues. I smoke old stories I have found, short but not too big around. I'm a man of means by no means king of the road. I know every engineer on every train, all of their children and all of their names, and every handout in every town, and every lock that ain't locked when no one's around. I smoke old stogies I have found, short but not too big around. I'm a man of means by no means king of the road. Trailers for sale or rent, rooms to let to 50 cents. No phone, no pool, no pets. I ain't got no cigarettes, but 2 hours of push and brew. Eight by 12 for big room, mama. Man, no means by no means king of the road. Do, 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 do. Yeah, yeah, you know I am. You know I am. You know I am. Third boxcar midnight train, destination Bangor, Maine. Old worn out suits and shoes, I don't pay no union dues. I smoke stogies that I have found, short but not too big around. I'm a man of means by no means king of the road. I know every engineer on every train, all of their children and all of their names, and every handout in every town, and every lock that ain't locked when no one's around. I smoke old stogies I have found, short but not too big around. I'm a man of means by no means king of the road.
Hi, this is Dan Michaels. If you're looking for professional voice talent for your commercial or podcast, I'm your man. Visit danmichaelsaudio.com for more information.
I like it.
Well, I don't know what you can do, but what we can keep the funk alive.
That's right, baby. We're keeping the funk alive right here at Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink, National Cannabis Radio's home of soul, funk, and disco. So join me, Big Daddy, every Thursday night at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, at the Funky Roller Rink, where every night is Saturday night.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pens the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We're at the bottom of the hour, and that means it's time to speak with Dr. Mitch Earlywine from SUNY Albany. Dr. Earlywine, how you doing? Do we have you there, Dr. Mitch? All right, we're having some connection issues right at the moment, trying to get this together. We will take a quick break, see if we can get that fixed. Stick around. We will have Dr. Mitch on in just a moment. So,
oh, this one?
Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Shopping. No benefits for hip hopping or stock options, but it's better than drug dealing, stealing, or robbing. My brain is bugged. I need to get a lobotomy to get this sickness out of me. My split personality is like a dichotomy. The thick psychology of a slave that had his soul saved, like a black Baptist in the South, cradled to the grave. So show the next generation a way to behave. My bars is cell therapy for breaking them chains. Who's that peeking in my window? The internet, television, government men in trench coats. The spirit of my ancestors.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pins the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
All right, this time I mean it. We're going to talk to Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Are you there, Dr. Mitch? Hello? It's dropping the call for some reason. We're having some issues here. The Skype channel's unmuted.
Can you hear me, Russ, when I talk?
I'm hearing you.
Okay, perfect. He was on here a minute ago. Dr. Mitch, are you still there?
I'm trying.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
He's there. Yeah, he's there.
I'm going to need your help.
Okay. Having some troubles here as we're getting things put together, getting ready for HempFest and everything. But Dr. Mitch, do we have you now?
Indeed.
Oh, so sorry for the difficulties, but glad to have you here. Folks in the chat room are getting all antsy. We want to make sure we got that taken care of. Before we get started, we always let Dr. Mitch let us know what's new in the world of cannabis science. So are there any new studies or polls we need to hear about?
As it turns out, I had to review something, but it's still confidential, but I should have some interesting news next week.
Okay, fantastic. Now, as far as questions from our chat room, we already have a few that are coming in here. Reefer Rob wanted to know if cannabinoids help in any way with diabetes.
As it turns out, we don't have a direct link between either CBD or THC so far and diabetes. And as much as folks want to try to use it as a treatment, I want to emphasize that if it's going to enhance your appetite and make you eat things that are inappropriate, it's really not a good decision. So make sure the house is full of lean protein sources rather than a bunch of Twinkies if you're diabetic and want to turn to cannabis.
Yeah, good point. And another question here is asking, we've got one coming in from T Star Trek dude, who says live long and prosper, I guess. He wants to know, he says that THC and CBD, cannabidiol, have a whole bunch of medical benefits. Have we found any benefits of CBN, cannabinol?
It turns out cannabinol is so under-investigated that there may be quite a few, and we just don't know it yet. And the trials for it with things like seizure and sleep and stuff like that have been so-so, particularly when compared to the big two. So it hasn't seemed like it's been a fruitful route of research, and so I don't imagine a whole lot of it's going to be going on anytime soon.
Okay. Now, we got a question here, a little more specific, and it has to do with shingles outbreak, and it's asking, do cannabinoids help alleviate pain from a post-herpatic neuralgia following a shingles outbreak?
In theory, any of those nerve-type pains should respond, but it's going to be incredibly strain-sensitive and incredibly dose-sensitive. So odds are high that too much will actually make the pain worse, and not enough won't have enough impact, and so finding that ideal dose is going to be difficult. Nevertheless, it's a really painful condition being described there, and I think it's worth a try.
Okay. We're speaking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine here in our Cannabis Science segment, Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch. You can call in live at 971-533-7111 or get your questions in our chat room at ncr420.com. And Dr. Mitch, I saw a report here in the Atlantic that just came up on the list here. It's dated today, August 15th. However, I think it's referring to a study that we've already talked about, and that is that pot may improve cognitive functioning in bipolar disorder. Give folks an idea what bipolar is and how is cannabis helping with that?
Sure thing. The use of cannabis in this is kind of controversial, but bipolar tends to be typified by periods of mania, so 3 days or more of intense irritability, no need for sleep, impulsivity, wild spending, ill-advised sexual encounters, all kinds of stuff like that, and then this whomping, hardcore, depressive episode as well, where 2 weeks or more of just outrageously sad mood, incredible need for sleep, loss of appetite, and just absolute dysphoria. And it turns out that cannabis on this is kind of destabilizing if you're not using it in the right way. Hmm. So the mania seems to often be associated with a deviant sleep pattern, and if you can use cannabis to keep your sleep regular, it may be helpful. But if you're actually using it just as kind of a party enhancement thing or something that's going to wreck you in a sense of making you tired midday and then getting you out of whack, it can actually make things worse. So this has become really controversial. Hmm. We've seen time and again that the cannabinoids are wonderful as far as neuroprotective effects go, and these folks often, because of some of the behaviors that co-vary with their manic times, are at risk for some neurotoxic reactions to, say, alcohol use and just head injury, crazy things like that. And those who have used cannabis seem to be more protected from those sorts of things. But we actually see cannabis as a neuroprotective agent anyway.
Hmm. All right. Now, we have another question coming in from the chat room here, talking about a recent study on Sativex and titrated dosing. Have you seen this study and what he might be referring to here?
So I'm guessing it's one of the recent ones that actually shows that some of the MS patients and some other folks with pain seem to be responding to the medium dose of Sativex best. Hmm. And so as it turns out, the high dose was essentially not having the ideal impact folks had hoped for. The medium dose is sort of the baby bear. It's just right, and that seems to work well. And then the lower doses were not working as well. And I believe that came out just in the last couple of weeks. And, you know, just as I was saying for pain before, that seems to be the case. And for muscle spasm, that also may be the case.
Okay. Now for some reefer madness. I found this going to a website called Access News, and the headline caught me right away. High potency in synthetic marijuana pose real dangers in the first weeks of pregnancy. And they go on to say that marijuana is 20 times more potent than it was 40 years ago, and terrible things will happen if pregnant women take it. And first of all, I was wondering if you could just cover the potency thing. And second of all, maybe give us some tips on cannabis use in pregnancy.
Well, so what's interesting is the potency issue just never seems to die. So, yes, we have had estimates of cannabis that were only 1% THC from back in the 70s, but that was before we really understood how it broke down. So the cannabis would often sit in a hot evidence locker at a police station for a month and then get shipped by the slow train down to Mississippi to have its THC estimated, and then you'd say, oh, yeah, it's 1%. Well, if you give somebody a 1% THC joint in the lab, they usually punch you in the face and say that it's fake. It's really not anything that's inherently psychoactive. There's no way that the cannabis could have caught on if that was the case back then. And then they take these, you know, single strains where once in a while somebody in the UK finds one that's 20% THC or something like that, and they say, look, it's 20 times what it used to be. Well, it's just bad math and bad science. Is cannabis 2 or 3 times stronger than it was back then? Well, yes, but people don't seem to be getting any higher. So, in fact, they're smoking markedly less. So the old days when it was $15 a lid and people would sit around and smoke 5 joints, those are pretty much gone. People aren't using anywhere near as much. In part because it's stronger, and indirectly this may actually lead to some harm reduction as far as lung exposure to any irritants is concerned. So I'm not too worried about the potency issue.
Yeah.
Now the thing with pregnancy, you know, goes back and forth, and we do not have a ton of compelling data saying, oh my God, this is going to make your baby retarded footstools, but. You know, we don't recommend drug use for during pregnancy. We do have at least one data set from Marilyn Marthry suggesting that there really weren't a lot of negative consequences for these women in the Caribbean countries who used cannabis during pregnancy. Some of them may have been drinking cannabis-related teas, though, and it's kind of hard to tell. The follow-up's only 5-6 years. We do have one study from the United States, where they've got the kids up to 10 years old, and the moms who used cannabis had kids who were more likely to be diagnosed with ADHD, attention deficit problems, but they didn't do a good job of measuring those in the moms, and we know that's a highly heritable disorder, so it's hard to tell really what the source on all that is.
Yeah, whenever I hear someone tell me that the weed today is so much more potent than the weed in the 1970s, I just like to pick out a picture of Parliament Funkadelic from 1978, Or any picture showing people in their tie dyes and their bell bottoms, and I mean, they were smoking some good weed to come up with that stuff, folks. that wasn't by accident. All right, we got another question here from the chat room. What, if any, benefits does cannabis offer to those with brain lesions due to traumatic brain injury?
Unfortunately, it would have to be administered almost immediately after the trauma. We really don't have any evidence, and it would depend very much on the localization of the brain damage. And we do see some promising antioxidant effects of heavy-duty cannabinoids administered immediately after a trauma, but otherwise we just don't have any evidence to suggest that there's a whole lot of benefit under those circumstances that are more normal in everyday life.
Hmm. Yeah, it'd be interesting if we found out that, you know, it was really good for that situation specifically, and in the NFL, when somebody comes off the field with a concussion, their first thing would be go to hit the vaporizer for brain protection. Wouldn't that be something?
I can think of worse things.
Fantastic. All right. We're going to wrap things up here for our Cannabis Q&A segment. We'll take another question. But before we do, I want to remind you all that if you didn't get a chance to get your question in today, join us next week, Wednesday, at the bottom of this hour here, and we'll talk to Dr. Mitch again. You can get your question in that time. Or if you just want to keep it private, you can send it by email to 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. And the final thing that, you know, I just wanted to talk about here is, you know, we're going into Seattle Hemp Fest. You know, it's going to be a nice hot day out there, hot weekend. Tips for the people that might be listening and visiting Hemp Fest on how to stay safe and you know, out of the sun, I guess.
Yeah, and my clincher for this is always stay rested and stay hydrated. So there's no need to not sleep. There's no need to be the last person there or to stay up all night or anything like that. And having a bottle of water in your hand all the time is really the way to go. It may not feel hot. You may not feel thirsty right away. But making sure that you're drinking ahead of time and water, you can't go wrong. It's when you start getting dehydrated and start thinking less clearly that things really go awry.
All right. Yeah, that's good advice for any outdoor festival, especially out in the middle of the summer in August. The heat won't be the only thing we have to worry about at Hemp Fest, but it'll be a good time. We'll see y'all there. Just check us out at ncr420.com for the live coverage. Dr. Mitch joins us every Wednesday for Cannabis Q&A. Thank you, sir, for your service, and we'll talk to you next week.
Have a great time.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about the new movie, Legalize It, with the director, Dan Ketzier. Right back after this.
Tuned into the
Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges, and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
17 states and the District of Columbia have legalized the use of marijuana for medicinal purposes. Over 70% of the American public supports the use of marijuana for medicinal purposes. What does Governor Mitt Romney think of medical marijuana?
So medical marijuana is legal in Colorado. One of our viewers, Bill Ferguson, asked, should marijuana be legalized for medical use?
Aren't there issues of significance that you'd like to talk about?
The medicinal use of marijuana is a significant issue to the millions suffering from cancer, AIDS, and other chronic pain, nausea, spasticity, and seizure disorders.
I think marijuana should not be legal in this country. I believe it's a gateway drug to other drug violations. The use of illegal drugs in this country is leading to terrible consequences in places like Mexico and actually in our own country.
Okay.
I oppose legalization of marijuana.
The best weapon you can have in the Prohibition War is your mind. Fill your head with the knowledge you need by checking out this latest entry in the Russ Belville Show's Reformers Reader.
All right, welcome back. Reformers Reader, or Reformers Going to the Movies, I guess, would be another way to put it today, because in this segment, we always like to talk about the emerging media that is telling the truth about the Prohibition War and the need to end Prohibition. And joining us today, the director of another one of these movies, Dan Katzier, is here with the movie Legalize It. And Dan, I hope I got your name pronunciation right there.
Oh, you got it right. Thanks for having me on your show, Russ.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, Legalize It is this new film that you've got out, and at least from what I can tell from it, it appears as though you're covering the Prop 19 campaign from 2010. Have I got that right, or is there more to it?
You got it right. I read an article in the newspaper that there's a group of people in Oakland trying to create a ballot initiative to legalize, and I talked to them, and I started following it from the moment they started to the moment they didn't pass Prop 19. But what happened was, as following Prop 19, California decriminalized, so they did win.
Yeah, and so in the documentary style here, who all were you embedded with? I suppose the campaign people, but also anybody that was opposed or other groups?
I followed everybody, but my main focus was on the people, on Richard Lee and Dale Clear and Jeff Jones, the leaders of the campaign. So it's a movie that feels like a fiction film where I'm following the people trying to make change, and it was quite a roller coaster ride.
Oh, yeah. Now, we've got some screenings of this movie coming out. Now, you're at Seattle Hemp Fest, is that right?
We're going to be showing parts of it at Seattle Hempfest, and we're also showing the movie, believe it or not, in three churches.
That I'm so glad to hear that, because I think there's a very strong argument to be made to the faith community out there. You know, people that, you know, feel that we should treat those that are lesser than ourselves with respect and dignity, and, you know, end injustice. I think the drug war, you know, plays to those themes very well. Was that your thinking in trying to get this screened at any churches?
I've actually made a lot of movies that have played in faith-based organizations, and when I started doing this film, my dream and my goal was to have a movie about marijuana that would go to the faith-based community, because I think it's, at the end of the day, marijuana is it's a moral issue more than anything else, and the fact we've made it a legal issue is not the issue. It's something between a man and himself, and not between a man and going to jail.
Well put. In covering the people behind Prop 19, Dale Jones and Jeff Jones and Richard Lee and so forth, what struck you the most about them as people, their personalities, their perseverance? What was your impression of their efforts?
What I really liked about them is that, when they started, none of them had any political experience. So it was basically a group of people that had no political experience. They had very little money. Richard put his own life saving on it, but that was just enough to qualify for the ballot, but it wasn't enough to run a ballot. And ballots in California cost, tens of millions of dollars. So it was a small group in a small, or not a small, but in a poor town that was not, L.A. or San Francisco or San Diego. And they managed to get the whole world talking about it. So I think it's a very inspirational film that people, if they really want to do something, they can do it if they just have enough passion. And I think hopefully this movie will inspire other people to, jump into the political arena and try to make change, because I think change happens only when enough people believe that they can change something.
You're absolutely right. Activism starts with act. We're speaking with Dan Katzir. He's the director of this new film, Legalize It. You can find out more by going to the website legalizeitmovie.com. The screenings are coming up in the Seattle area, including Seattle Hemp Fest. On Friday, August 17th, they'll be at the Bethany United Church in Seattle. On Saturday at 12:40 at the Hemposium at Seattle Hemp Fest. We'll be there as well, so we'll cover that screening. Sunday, there's going to be a location in Federal Way. Will they be checking it out at the Kingdom Christian Center? And also on Sunday, later that evening, a preview at the Woodinville Unitarian Universalist Church. And I like some of the people that you've got joining you here on these screenings. We've got Judge Jim Gray, the vice presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party, Dan Rush from the United Food and Commercial Workers, and Jody Emery. They'll be at the Hemposium one. At the Sunday one in Woodinville, we'll get Dan Rush and Amanda Rain from UFCW, Betty Taylor, the former chief of police in St. Louis, Missouri, and a speaker from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. So it sounds as if you're getting a lot of great support for this film. After these initial screenings, do you have plans for it to be, distributed widely to regular theaters or on Netflix or video or anything like that?
Well, listen, we are very, very, very low budget film. I made a lot of films, so I know how to do them very low budget. But you need a huge budget to market stuff. So we hope that through grassroots efforts, we can get the story out. And my dream is to go to more churches, because I think the more faith-based organizations will show this film, and the more the discussion will be raised within faith-based organizations, I think it will impact the most amount of people that could actually switch their opinion. Because I think one of the problems with the marijuana movement is that a lot of them are just preaching to the choir, and they're not trying to bring the issue and the story and the conflict to a broader audience. Then also the people who might not necessarily care about marijuana but should care about marijuana and should realize why, even if they don't smoke, they should support legalizing it. So that's why I think a church is one of the best places to reach out to everybody, in a place that is safe for people to actually have a moral discussion.
Yeah, I think you're right on with that, and we want to help you any way we can. So, folks, visit legalizeitmovie.com. They have a little item on the website that says "Roll Your Own Screening," and you can sign up for an email list for updates on the movie, and you can perhaps set up your own screening in your own town to help people start this conversation. Are there any other ways, Dan, that folks might help you out? Is there a donations page, a Kickstarter page, anything like that?
No, I think that the thing that would help us the most is just people learn about the film, and if they think this is interesting, to talk to people within their community, if it's a pastor, if it's a reverend, if it's a rabbi, if it's anybody else that they think will be interested in hosting a screening, and trying to bring the film to their community. That will help the most, because I think the more people talk about the movie, the more they will talk about legalization, and the more through seeing the story of Richard, Dale, and Jeff, they will see they can bring legalization to their city or their town or their state.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's also all sorts of social media contact for Legalize It Movie. If you go to Twitter, it's Legalize It Movie. If you go to YouTube, they've got a page up there for Legalize It Movie. And also Facebook. Just check that out. The links are right there at legalizeitmovie.com if you'd like to follow along. Again, we're speaking with Dan Katzier, the director of Legalize It Movie. What sort of projects do you have happening now? Are you moving forward with more legal marijuana projects, or is there something new on the horizon for you?
We have a lot of different projects that we're working on, but I'm willing to put, you know, when I started this movie, I was not aware of a lot of stuff about marijuana and the issues and the problems of legalizing, and thanks to this film, I became much more aware. So I'm going to dedicate the near future to help, you know, bring this movie out to so more people will be aware, just like I became aware, because the facts are just unbelievable about.
You know, that's fascinating to me, because, you know, one of the things I do appreciate what you're saying about, you know, having to reach outside of the choir, because there's things, you know, the questions they're asking that we're not hearing. So as someone who learned new things from doing this, what kind of new things did you learn so we can know what to, you know, highlight for other people out there?
I didn't understand that. To be honest, I never really asked myself why marijuana A is illegal. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that, you know, about a third of Americans have become criminals, and yet nobody seems to, you know, try to, it's a small group of people trying to make change, but a lot of people, even the people who smoke, don't care enough to try to make change, and they don't care that they themselves might go to jail.
Did you find that frustrating during the Prop 19 campaign, to find people who had called themselves supporters of marijuana legalization actually opposing Prop 19?
Yeah, the biggest and maybe craziest thing that I experienced was that a lot of my friends in Hollywood, people who are music producers, musicians, actors, all smokers, they voted against Prop 19.
Really?
And I asked them why, and they said they don't want people to smoke it. Even people who saw my film and later went out and lit a joint said to me, you know, I voted against it. And I said, and after seeing my movie, they said I would still vote against it. And I said, why? They said, because I think most people are not as responsible smokers as me. And I said, what? They said, yeah. They said, I'm a responsible smoker. And I said to them, how are you responsible? You smoke 20 joints a day. But people somehow feel that they are special. And then everybody else are not as special and as them. And I think that we have to make people realize that if it has not harmed you, it will not harm other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think somehow people are more afraid to admit that they've been conned by their own government than to admit that the thing that they think is illegal is not that dangerous.
Mm. Well spoken. Well, Dan Katzier, I appreciate you coming here on the show. I appreciate you putting out this movie. LegalizeItMovie.com is where you can find out more information, or Legalize It Movie on Twitter. We'll be watching some of it at Seattle Hemp Fest on Saturday, 12:40 in the Hemposium. I hope you join us there. And Dan, you'll be there in person there at Hemp Fest?
I will be there.
All right.
I'm looking forward to see you guys, and thank you for having me, and I hope more and more people become aware like me, because I think once you start learning, then, you know, it's hard to go back, and it changes your life forever. And after I've test screened this movie mostly on conservatives, and a lot of them said if they would have known about all these facts, they would have probably voted for Prop 19, wow, not because they support marijuana, but they do support legalization. Wow. And I think that's kind of the shift that I think has to happen so that legalization will happen in the near future.
Yeah, we sure hope so. In 3 states this year and the other 47 as soon as we can get to them. Dan Katzier, thanks for joining us, and good luck with the movie. We'll see you Saturday.
Thanks a lot. See you.
All right, stick around, folks. Hour 2 is coming up for Wiz Khalifa, who's not here, and Cannabis Carry and Brian the Red. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed.
see you manage your